Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1, these are his words for us. Now, if a person sins after he hears a public adjuration to testify when he is a witness, whether he has seen or otherwise known, if he does not tell it, then he will bear his guilt. Or if a person touches any unclean thing, whether a carcass of an unclean beast, or the carcass of an unclean cattle, or a carcass of unclean swarming things, though it is hidden from him and he is unclean, then he will be guilty. Or if he touches human uncleanness of whatever sort, this uncleanness may be with which he becomes unclean, and it is hidden from him, and then he comes to know it, he will be guilty. Or if a person swears thoughtlessly with his lips, or to do evil, or to do good, in whatever matter a man may speak thoughtlessly with an oath, and it is hidden from him, and then he comes to know it, he will be guilty in one of these. And so it shall be, when he becomes guilty in one of these, that he shall confess that in which he has sinned. He shall also bring his guilt offering to the Lord for his sin which he has committed, a female from the flock, a lamb or a goat as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement on his behalf for his sin. But if he cannot afford a lamb, then he shall bring to the Lord his guilt offering for that in which he has sinned, two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. He shall bring them to the priest, who shall offer first that which is for the sin offering, and shall nip its head at the front of its neck, but he shall not sever it. He shall also sprinkle some of the blood of the sin offering on the side of the altar, while the rest of the blood shall be drained out at the base of the altar. It is a sin offering. Then the second he shall then prepare as a burnt offering according to the ordinance. So the priest shall make atonement on his behalf for his sin, which he has committed, and it will be forgiven him. But if his means are insufficient for two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then for his offering for that which he has sinned, he shall bring the tenth of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. He shall not put oil on it or place incense on it, for it is a sin offering. He shall bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take his handful of it as its memorial portion and offer it up in smoke on the altar with the offerings of the Lord by fire. It is a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his sin which he has committed from one of these, and it will be forgiven him. Then the rest shall become the priests like the grain offering. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if a person acts unfaithfully and sins unintentionally against the Lord's holy things, then he shall bring his guilt offering to the Lord, a ram without defect from the flock, according to your valuation, and silver by shekels, in terms of the shekel of the sanctuary, for a guilt offering. He shall make restitution for that which he has sinned against the holy thing, and shall add to it a fifth part of it, and give it to the priest. The priest shall then make atonement for him with the ram of the guilt offering, and it will be forgiven him. Now if a person sins and does any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done, though he was unaware, still he is guilty and shall bear his punishment. He is then to bring to the priest a ram without defect from the flock, according to your valuation, for a guilt offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his error, in which he sinned unintentionally and did not know it, and it will be forgiven him. It is a guilt offering. He was certainly guilty before the Lord. Those are God's words. There's a little difference between what we heard last week in the sin offering and this week with the guilt offering. It even seems to imply that the guilt offering is kind of a little bit more specific than the sin offering, but it's kind of part of the sin offering, but kind of not. So there is a lot of similarities, but there's also a few differences. The difference is not found in what was actually sacrificed or necessarily how the priests were to handle these sacrifices or this offering or when the people should bring them. As they were both for the purpose also of making atonement for sin, pointing, of course, to Christ, our perfect substitutionary atonement. The difference is found and that the sin offering, it seems to be a general offering, and the guilt offering applies to very specific instances when it should be offered, when people have sinned and are found guilty. And so if a man, and in this chapter about the guilt offering, verse 1, if he sins and is asked publicly if he has sinned and conceals his knowledge, then he should make the offering. This offering should be offered if he, verse 2 and 3, touches an unclean thing. Verse 4, swears an oath or a vow without thought. That means carelessly taking an oath or a vow, as sometimes we often do wrongly. Verses 14 through 16, if one steals or mishandles the holy things of the Lord. And verses 17 through 19, if someone sins but is unaware that they've sinned, generally, they should offer this guilt offering. And as we're going through the passage, as we're reading through the passage, I came to me to think about, if everyone actually did what God commanded here in Israel, then they would all be poor by not very long of a time, because they sin so much. We sin just as much as they did then. Hopefully today, with more of God's revelation, we know that we're sinning more, and it is not hidden from us as sometimes it was for them. But throughout the passage, we see some more of what is to be offered, and we see the mercy of the Lord allowing, if one could not afford a particular animal, then they could, like the ram or the lamb, then they could offer a bird. And if they couldn't afford the bird, God's merciful to these people, they could offer some flour. And so He is a merciful God, even here when He's demanding these very strict laws, because He's a holy God. But here, as we see the offering of the lamb and the ram at the end of the passage, pointing us once again to the sinless and righteous perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Every chapter of these sacrifices, these offerings, point us to Jesus Christ and His perfect sacrifice for us. And we need to remember that. And that's what they should have been looking forward to in the coming Messiah. And that's what we need to remember as we look back to His sacrifice. And then as we get to Romans 8 today, looking at our present time and into the future, and the effects of His sacrifice. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we are thankful for the sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We're thankful that as we think of the nation of Israel and You giving them these commands, that if they would have followed very strictly to Your commands, You would have certainly provided for them these offerings that they needed to make. Because we know that You're a merciful and gracious God. And yet, Father, as we look through the history of Israel, from Joshua through the kings and other places, we find that mostly Israel did not obey You, and did not keep Your law, did not keep this law very well. And so, Father, we are thankful. Just as we, like them, have not kept Your law, we have broken the covenant of works. We have not... First, we've been born in sin, original sin, even in union with our father Adam. And Father, we have... We already are deserving at the very moment of conception of death forever. And yet You are a merciful God, and giving us Christ, who has kept the covenant of works for us, and His perfect righteousness and His life, and His perfect passive obedience in His suffering death on the cross, that was necessary because we broke the covenant of works. He kept it. And then He kept not only the covenant's demands for the law, but He also kept the covenant's punishment and condemnation for us, that we would today have no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. who have believed the gospel. And so we are thankful for his sacrifice. We're thankful for his perfect substitutionary atonement. We're thankful for his vicarious atonement. That is, he sacrificed himself on our behalf, that we ourselves will not have to die forever, but rather we will be blessed to live forever. That he took on the curses, dying on the cursed tree, that we would be blessed with the blessings of the covenant of grace and the blessings of the covenant of works, to have life forever. And so we're thankful. He kept the covenant of works so that we might, by our believing, be members of the covenant of grace. Father, we do praise you and thank you for your eternal plan, not only for your Son, but for ourselves and for the church. We're thankful that the gospel is going forth throughout the world today. We would ask that more and more churches would proclaim it, that you would bring back those churches which are have turned from you and turned to things of this world and aren't so worried or concerned about your word at all, but concerned with tickling ears. Those churches, we ask that you would turn back to you and they would repent. And Father, we do pray for your church throughout the world, that you would bring about a great harvest. And you even say the fields are white for harvest, ready. And we ask that you would send out your harvesters, us, your children, as instruments of yours to call sinners to repentance. We pray that that would be done today in churches and in our church, our congregation, and that some here even would believe the gospel unto salvation. Father, we do thank you for bringing us together once again on this day, and thank you for the fact that you are always faithful to us and you continue strengthening us to gather every Lord's Day. Or sometimes we sinfully want to neglect this day, and yet we know that it is for our blessing to be here, as you teach us in Hebrews 10. And so, Father, we pray that we would have a joy even tomorrow. As we go out from here, we pray that even tomorrow we'd be longing with great hope for the next Lord's Day, that we would be able to come and gather together. For we know that you love more than our private residences the house of the Lord, when we gather, as you say in Psalm 87. And so, Father, we thank you for this. We also pray that you would turn us from our sin, as we've read about and at least mentioned the uncleanness that we have in ourselves and our constant lusts after the flesh and our act of disobedience to you. Father, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins, of not loving you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and not loving our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, cleanse us of our sin and turn us unto your Son. We would remember the gospel, that he cleanses us of our sin as far as the east is from the west through his sacrifice. We're thankful for the Spirit that we'll hear about this morning, that you fill us with your Spirit. And we pray that you would see to it that we would not grieve the Spirit, if that is your will. Father, that is the last thing we want. We hate sin. We love having your Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, in us. And we would be lost and on the road to death and destruction without him. So, Father, help us to love the Spirit and not grieve him. Father, we do ask that you would be with Kendall's brother and his family and getting him here through the immigration process. I ask that you would provide exactly what is needed and clarity with all the governing agencies to bring that about. We do pray for your will to be done in that. Father, we also ask that you would heal Oliver's body and Dina's body and Jeannie's body and anyone else who may be struggling in their bodies, and praise you that you have held up our bodies thus far, for our bodies are on our way to dying because of sin in the world. And we're thankful that you've upheld them thus far. Father, we ask that you would help us as we now continue in worshiping you. Father, we are unable to worship you in spirit and in truth without the Holy Spirit at work in us, even in the reading and preaching of your word and the hearing of your word. And so help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.